Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're walking through the book of Romans and the apostle writing to our brethren there, a church at Rome, we believe, and a church he was never able to visit during the course of his years of ministry and the journeys until he took his last journey into Rome. I don't know if he was ever able to assemble with them or not, but he does write to them. And as we go through the book, there may be clues or hints about the time of when he wrote the book. We might we'll be on the lookout for those. And he's hammered some things early on in this book about a man's depravity, man's wicked way, a philosophy, the philosophy of man, and all those kind of things, because that's what the Romans would be. It would be natural for them to be surrounded by that, much as we are today. You know, the way of the Lord does not make sense to the carnal man. He cannot comprehend it. And we who are saved, we who have the Spirit of God living within, we who are spiritual, all right, if we're saved, we're spiritual by virtue of the Spirit of God living within, we are to take and take the action, the conversation of this life, and pursue it in a spiritual way. Brother Mark, he brought out about deacons, that office of deacons. And there were some qualifications about those men. One of them was that they were filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Wait a minute. They were going to be waiting on tables. That was what the apostles said. They said, we don't need to be. And the apostles weren't proud or saying that that work was beneath them. They weren't saying that. Their calling was to lead and minister to the church in spiritual things. And so what was said to the church was, choose out some men who are spiritual that they might undertake these physical things in a way that would be right and pleasing to God. And so that is the order and way of the Lord, to be found well in his service. We need to be spiritual. And so the natural man, he's just in a terrible shape. He's dead. And he's spoken about many different things. And we've come to this chapter 8, and it starts off that there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so that qualifier there, you're walking after the Spirit. How do we know we're walking after the Spirit? We obey the Lord. We want to obey the Lord. We seek to obey the Lord. In the previous chapter, the brother talks about the conflict that he has. Well, do you have a conflict? If there is no conflict, you might need to check out your salvation. Or as one brother said, if there's no conflict, you might need to be saved. Maybe you need to be saved if there's no conflict. And so he speaks here about this of no condemnation and walking after the Spirit. And in verse 9, we're not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. Let it be known in verse number 11 that it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and he's raised us from the dead indeed, hadn't he? I mean, we were dead and he's made us alive. Okay, if we live after the Spirit, verse 15, if we live after the flesh, rather, you will die. Remember, sin equals death. Living after the flesh is death. The flesh is death. We're buried with our Lord and raised a new life. That's what baptism typifies and shows. And then in verse 14, many of us are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. We've not received the Spirit again to fear, verse 15, but the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Now, when the Lord saves, nobody's got to tell somebody that they're saved. They know they're saved. They cry out unto their Lord. And then he speaks about our inheritance and being heirs with Christ. And then this thought is kind of in dealing with this about the flesh. Okay. He talks about the sufferings of this present time. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That glory that's going to be revealed in us is that inheritance that we have. It's part of that inheritance that we have. Yeah, we are going to a mansion. We'll have a mansion. I wonder how much time we'll spend at the mansion. I'm wonder how much time we'll spend sweeping our sidewalk out there in front of our mansion of gold, our sidewalk, that part of our street, the street that's in front of our place of gold. I doubt we'll be sweeping. I doubt there's any dust and glory, do you? And road trash and stuff like that. And he said, it's just not worthy to be compared. So it may seem like a great thing now, and it's not to say that it's not real. But may we always defer to our Lord. May we go to our Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to our Lord and seek his help in bearing under the burdens of this life. They will be here. Bearing under the offenses of this life, but not being a stumbling block or an offense. And then in verse number 19, remember this as we go forward, what it says in chapter 7, verse number 24. Okay, let's look at this. Chapter 7, verse number 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Okay, so there he is. There's the old man. And then he says, in verse 19 of chapter 8, for the earnest expectation of the creature. The creature, that's the wording that he begins to use, the creature. Now, this isn't the creature from the Black Lagoon, okay? This isn't talking about Frankenstein. This is talking about the new man, okay? Total and full and complete emphasis now on the new man. Do you think that the body of death, do you think the body of this death has any earnest expectation? He's not capable of having any earnest expectation. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. when all that there is that I'm saved and there, you're saved and there, and we've got a body like Christ, and all this old world's gone. This old mind is gone. This old body that hurts is gone. No more shots in the knee, Brother Nicky. It's all that's gone. And the creature, the new creature, that's presently waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When we're there, it's manifested, and we are the sons of God. We do his bidding. We do his bidding in the millennial reign. Or if we're taken out of here by death, we're with our Lord in glory in heaven, as the scripture refers to it, and we refer to it until the time he comes back and to set up his rule and reign. And then we're, for that 1,000-year millennial reign, we're doing his bidding. And then the time there, when he lets Satan loose, and however much time that's going to be, and I don't think it's going to be very long, and then he burns up this old world and brings down the new heaven and the new earth, the manifestation of the sons of God. We'll be there with the Lord. We won't ever get tired. We'll be able to do the Lord's bidding. The sin and iniquity that'll yet be at hand in the millennial reign won't touch us, won't bother us, we'll be impervious to it. It'll roll off of us like water off a duck's back. It won't hurt our hearts. It won't hurt our minds. It won't hurt our souls, of course. Because why? We're the sons of God. we live in Christ's righteousness. We have his righteousness. We have this glorified body like Christ. God can think it. God thinks it, or he says it, and we hear it immediately. We have no conflict. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. If you're here and saved, aren't you looking forward to that? Don't you have expectation of that? I do. I do. I do. I want to serve my Lord well all the time. And I can't wait till I can be able to do that all the time. Oh, but I like to do this and I like to do that. I know. We have things that we like. And if they're not wicked and sinful, there's nothing wrong with them. But you know what? What's going to happen then is the focus is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, period. And you know what? He'll be the fulfilling of everything. I'm glad I'm married. I love Clarissa. I'm glad she's my wife. I love her. I love my children. And those are things that the Lord has blessed with, and even as preached about in the conferences, opportunities for stewardship that are at hand. This whole life is a stewardship. All of life is a stewardship, isn't it? You know what? And those things are fulfilling and they're in their right place and they're the blessing of the Lord. But in that day, He will be the filling of all things. That doesn't mean I'm going to hate you. You know what? I'm going to be able to love you perfectly then. and we'll be there together with our Lord. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The showing forth of it. The ones that it'll be able to be seen, the Lord's children, the Lord's saved, that they have received the inheritance. They've received the inheritance because they're with Christ. And they have that new body. The creature. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity. You know, I've asked this question here in recent times. You know, don't you wonder why the Lord has left us in this way? For a short time, from the time He saved us, the time He takes us out of here, He's left us this way, the old man and the new man at odds. The old man and the new man, they're bound together. And they're against each other. The new man wants to do nothing but serve the Lord and doesn't sin and desires the good way of the Lord and wants to follow Him in every way. And the old man is diabolically against that in every wit and every way. Why is it that the Lord has left us like this for this time? And I've proposed some things to you and that I believe that the Word of God supports. But I think this passage speaks about that too. And so we want to look at that with the Lord's help here this afternoon. Quickly, before we continue on to verse number 20, let's take a look at a couple scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Listen to this. Be reminded of this. You know it. I trust you know it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The creature. Talking about the new man. The new man. That's what he's talking about. Old things are passed away. What's the brother been talking about? Old things have died. We're dead to those things, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New because of Christ. Galatians chapter 6. New creature. The creature. This new life that we have in Christ, the new man. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. The Lord's not concerned about religion, religious practice. There are those things of obedience. But the thing that availeth with the Lord is what? A new creature. The Spirit of God living within. The Lord coming and taking up house. The new man by the Lord. And so we come here back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I can't wait till we're there together with our Lord in that way. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Okay, so the new man is being subjected to emptiness. Isn't that what's happening with being saved? This new man that's at hand in this old body, he's being subjected to this just empty, terrible thing of this world and sin and the depravity of this old flesh and mind. Okay? It's nothing that the new man would ask for. But that's the design of our Lord. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. The new man says, I want to get away from the old man. But the Lord says, suffer it for a while. Suffer it for a while to my honor and my glory, not willingly, but here's why, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Our Lord is exercising us right now as his children. He knows we'll do well for us to have a time in which we hope in him. Our Lord is honored and glorified when we have hope in Him, when we've got a patience is very closely related, when we've got a wait in Him. We've got a promise, don't we? Man, we have got many promises, okay? Let's just take all the promises and let's just roll it up into, we've got a promise from our Lord, don't we? We have many promises from our Lord. We know that they're so. We know that God has said them. We know that He cannot lie. He will not change what He said. But you know what? We've got to wait. We've got to endure some things. We've got to go through some things. The new man is going to be better off. The new man is going to be better off to be in a condition here. He's subjected to vanity, not willingly. He'd never ask for it. But you know who knows better? Our Lord knows better. And it's a good thing. Remember the things that remain? Faith, hope, and charity. There's a connection there. He says, we would never volunteer for this, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the body of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And it's good for us to know that that's going to happen, but our Lord accomplish another thing in us for a while first, that we hope. That this old lost and dying world and those who are without Christ, there would be a time, I believe this is a facet of it, that they would look at us and say, you are nuts. You are crazy thinking that you're going to have a new body, thinking that you need to live a holy life before your Lord, that you need to put away sin out of your life, that you need to be a witness of this Jesus Christ, the Son of God that you say came to take away the sin of the world. That they might see about Christ. That's one thing. And that we might be the servant of our... Aren't we to be conformed to the image of Christ? Did not Christ come and suffer for us? It's good for us to being in this spiritual dichotomy or bichotomy. We've got the old man and the new man, and they're totally separate. But they're here within. And the Lord has subjected us to this emptiness of this life and this world and this old flesh and all this negativity of sin and nastiness, this emptiness, that for a while we might hope. Hope in Him. Look to Him. Long for Him. Right? Longing. Is it not described here in verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth on the manifestation of the sons of God? Don't we have longing for that? It's good for us to have longing for that. It's good for us to remember that and to know that that's so and to trust our Lord in the meantime till He brings it to pass. It's good. It's honoring to our Lord. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same. He's put us there. He's subjected us to that. But He hadn't left us without hope. He hadn't left us without hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Don't we sing that song? My hope is in the Lord, right? Because the creature, verse 21, itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We're bound. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What's he going to say? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even though we're found bound now, we can be delivered. And then one day we will ultimately be delivered. Amen? And we have hope for that. We know that that's so. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Our liberty and the Lord... Our liberty and the experience of this glorious liberty and our Lord as His children will abound more to His honor and glory. What if it is when we were saved, we just died? You ever think about that? Lord saved you, you died. He's out of here. The Lord's design is such is that we stay here for a while. We stay here for a while for His honor and His glory. to be made subject to this old vain stuff that we have, and it's on our back and everything. That, you know what, that stuff might be put down some, but we can't put it down all the time, can we? We want to. We put it down some, and the Lord be praised in that, and we turn and we hope, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's all to His honor and glory and praise. Listen, for we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This old world is straining under sin. Under the murder of Satan, under the lie of Satan, under the depravity of man, by the falling of our father Adam, it's all straining under that. I mean, when the Lord Jesus says, if these don't cry out, they said, hey, make your disciples hush. They're blaspheming. They're calling you God. They're saying you're the answer to the coming again of the kingdom of David. He said, if they don't yell out, these rocks are going to yell out. That's what our Lord Jesus said. And it's true. The whole creation's groaning and travailing in pain together until now. And not only that, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Here it is, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, it's just good for us to wait for a while. You know, Solomon wrote, it's better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of myrrh, because thereby the soul is made better. Now, I don't think that you and I ought to go around like a mule eating briars all the time. Okay? You know, mule eating briars, they're not smiling. I don't think we ought to do that, because we have joy in our Lord. And we need to have a witness to convey to a lost and dying world of hope and help in Christ. But you know what? It does us well to understand and be, as a brother read this morning, we need to be sober. It's not good just for the pastor and for the deacon. We really need to know how things are. Sin's bad. Sin equals death. And the way of the world and the way of sin, the way of man will just drag down to death and destruction, take a family and wreck it, ruin it, take a life, wreck it, and ruin it. They just sentenced this man over here that killed his 9-year-old sister some 4 years ago, 20-some years old, for 25 years. I mean, it's a waste of life. It's terrible. It's sad. And that's what sin will do. So we need to have that. But you know what? We need to rejoice in what our Lord's done in delivering us from that. And we groan. You think about groaning. You don't do that with a smile on your face. But when we look at the promise, I tell you what, doesn't the promise bring a smile to your face? Going to be like Christ. Going to be with Him. We're joint heirs with Him. Going to be delivered. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. See, the Lord Jesus gives the Spirit by measure. He does. The Apostle John wrote, he's got all the Spirit of God, because He is God. Revelation says, and even the Old Testament says, the seven spirits of God are there before His throne. That's just how great God is. Don't get tore up about that. That's what the Bible says. The Spirit of God, spirits of God, it's all the same. Don't get tore up about it. He's just big. And we, by virtue of being saved, we have the Spirit of God living within. But you know what? We are called to be filled with the Spirit. It's kind of like that doctrine of sanctification that we talked about on Wednesday night. We can avail ourselves of the Spirit of God more, or we can follow this old flesh more. We've got that before us to do. And when we avail ourselves to the Spirit of God, we have the first fruits by virtue of salvation. We have the first fruits by virtue of promise of the resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits. He rose from the dead first, didn't He? He led us. He leads us. And even our brethren that were there at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the ground shook and the graves opened? Some of them went into Jerusalem. Some of the saved, by virtue of the power of the Lord's resurrection, he didn't hold it back to some of them. They raised from the dead then. And they're with the Lord now. Don't have to worry about where they are. They're with the Lord when he ascended, I believe. But ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, wakening for the adoption. We're already adopted, but we're waiting for the completion of it. See, when you're adopted, you go home with your adopted parents. And this is not our home. We're just traveling through, right? We're looking to go home to be with our Lord. The adoption completed, if you will, like the scripture speaks about salvation being completed, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. What's the earnest of our inheritance? What is it, or what is he that tells us that we're saved? The Spirit of God. And our souls are saved, but our bodies are not saved. And we're living in a time where our lives are going to be saved or not. But one day when our Lord comes, salvation's going to be completed. We're going to be saved head to toe, through and through, end to end, forevermore. Is there anything at hand that'll cause that to not be? No, it's done. When we're saved and we have that first fruits, we've got it all. But we're waiting for some of it to be fulfilled, aren't we? For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. There's some things that we haven't seen yet. We know are so, and we're waiting for them. For that what a man seeth, why did he yet hope for? Verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. It's better for us to wait. The Lord's design is that we wait, that we live for him, his salvation of us is proven by the rest of this life, the Lord's design is better that the saints of the Lord persevere in all this vanity, that we persevere. In this world of sin. And there's good blessings from our Lord in this life. But the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's all vain. It's vain. And then we come to this. Verse 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, those things we have to bear along the way. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's our hindering. That's how we're hindered with this old man. We're not like Christ yet, but Christ lives within us. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Things I don't even know I know, the Lord Jesus and the Spirit's taken care of for me. Isn't that good? Things that I pray for and I think I need and I think I want and that I don't need, the Lord puts those on hold or knocks those down or changes them. What if I don't go to him in prayer? Well, I'm commanded to go to him in prayer. What if the Lord never hears from me? What if the Lord, all he gets out of me is just generalness? Lord, thy will be done. Lord, thy will be done in everything. Amen. Well, James tells me I don't have anything because I don't ask. And I think We can learn from our kids. They're real good about asking in particular. You know, by virtue of our grandsons. They know what you've got. Gumby Bear, Tic Tac, chewing gum, peppermint, whatever it is. It's truth in it. They ask in particular. Light, pen. They don't come up to you and say, give me some good thing. that I like. Right? I mean, come on. Right? The Spirit. Our love for our Lord is that the Spirit is doing those things. You know, we've never asked for that, but the Lord has provided that and given that to us. You know what? Because He knows we need it while we deal with this vanity, with this life, this old man and new man together in this old world. He subjected us to it, He subjected us to it. We would have never volunteered for it, but the Lord has done so that He might be glorified in us having hope in Him. That we might know that the promises are true, and that we might with patience be exercised in an impossible situation. But again, with our Lord, all things are possible, aren't they? He maketh with groanings that can't be uttered. Verse 27, and He that searcheth the hearts, search me, O God, right? Brother Nicky led us in that this morning. That's good. We need the Lord to search us. We need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord to wash us off wash this old man off of us. We need to be cleansed, don't we? We need to repent. We need to go to our Lord and to confess our sins before Him, confess our faults one to another. When offended, we need to follow the Lord in that. And when we repent, we need to repent honestly and receive it. It needs to be received. He that searcheth the hearts, the Lord knows all about that. What is the mind of the Spirit? Who's doing the searching, and what's this about the mind of the Spirit? The Lord Jesus is at hand, isn't He? The Lord Jesus is involved with this. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession. Who's making intercession? Our Lord Jesus is making intercession. The Spirit is making intercession. God's making intercession, and God knows what's going on with us, and He knows what we need, even though we don't need it. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Lord's doing all that for us. And because of this, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Remember, for the creature, verse 20, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. He's put us here. He will not give us more than we can bear through Him. He has done this that He might be honored and glorified and praised, and He has done this that you and I might grow up in Him. That an impossible thing might be possible through Him, through His grace upon us in this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He's spoken about this calling. Have you been called? Do you have the Spirit of God living within? Have you cried, Abba, Father? Does the Spirit of God bear witness with you? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's by the Spirit we can mortify the deeds of the body and live. And on and on and on, this book has spoken to us about. To them who are the called according to His purpose, because or for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, we're called a brother of Christ. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And were you? Were you called? That's how you can know about the former, is about knowing what's happened here in this life. Have you been called? Have you believed in Christ? Have you trusted Him as He saved your soul? Whom He called, them He also justified. Again, a thing that the Lord has taken care of that we've looked at. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Well, He hadn't done that yet. Oh, He's put some glory on us, hadn't He? By virtue of His Spirit living within, by virtue of Him visiting us, by virtue of Him showing us great and wondrous things out of His Word, He's put some glory on us. But we're going to be completely glorified one day. Glorified so in every whit and every way, such that we'll be able to stand in His presence, and we'll be able to stand. If we stood before the presence of our Lord now, it'd burn us up. The only way we could stand before his presence is if we withheld his glory. But then in that day, his glory will shine. And we'll be able to be before him. Because we'll be pure. We'll be clean. We'll be sinless. We'll be like Christ, our Savior, our brother, our wondrous God and King. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And isn't that the truth? What can anybody do? What can anyone do to us? How can we be harmed? How can we be hurt? How can we be compromised in any way? If the Lord is for us, who can be against us that can stand? None can stand against him. I mentioned to you here a while back about the thought of one that would really see how things are, that they would go and mess around and pick on one of the children of God? That they would go to meddle with one of the children of God, as great as their heavenly Father is? If they would know an inkling about who God is and how he is and his greatness, they would be afraid, they would be fearful, they would be terrified to touch one of the children of God. Be terrified. That's the reason if we want to be forgiven, we need to forgive. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's given us this. If it was up to us and we could know all that of the Lord, we wouldn't be subjected to this willingly. But Lord, the Lord knows better. The Lord knows better. And you know, that's consolation in knowing that the Lord knows better. He knows better. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how to refine me better. He knows how to prepare me better. He knows how to equip me better. You and me. He knows how to do that better. We just need to submit to him in it. And seek his face and his help when it hurts. When it hurts this old man, this old skin. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. People lie on us and tell bad things on us, untrue things on us, assumptions on us. You know what? If we know the truth and God knows the truth, we just need to rest in that. Just need to get over what people think. And we need to have a good testimony and a good witness. But we can't adjust living life like walking through a minefield. We've got to be right before our Lord and obey him and trust him, be convicted by him, and be the way Jesus is, and bear the fruit of the Spirit and add those things to our faith and not worry about what anybody thinks. But Paul said, it's a small thing for me to be judged of you, Church of Corinth. It's little. As a matter of fact, I don't even judge myself. And the thing is he's not saying that he doesn't watch himself and he doesn't introspect, but he's not looking to tally things up. He's just looking to be obedient because he knows and he tells us, declared, the Lord is the judge. He's going to do the reckoning. He's going to give out the rewards. He's the one that gives out the rebuke. He's the one that chastens his children. And what Paul is getting at is that I'm just pressing towards the mark. I'm just looking to obey my Lord. Lord, what do you say? Lord, what do you believe? And that's what I want to go after and what I want to do. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who stands a chance in that court? Who stands a chance at that bar to even present a case that would be compromising to us? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. If Christ died for us, and he has relieved us of the condemnation, paid for our sin debt, what is there that can come against us? Christ died. God died for us in the flesh. Yea, rather, not that he died, but he rose again. He didn't stay dead, but he rose again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, the Spirit, the Son, to the Father. We really think about it. I mean, get down and think about it. You know, it's the reason we need to read the Word of God, hear the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, and just kind of sit down and think about it. Isn't it humbling? Is it not humbling? Is it not touching? Doesn't it stir you and me to know that at the throne of God in heaven, they're talking about us? God Almighty and the Son and the Spirit is talking about us. How's intercession work? Well, Father, he's prayed that, but he doesn't need it. The Son has spoken to the Father, and the Spirit has carried it. And how all that working goes, and they're talking about Jim Duke. Son, Jim Duke. Son, your name, if you're here and say. Jim sure acted like a rat today. We need to go do something about him. They're talking about us in heaven if we're saved. Jim's attitude's kind of stinking. We need to encourage him. He's prayed to be encouraged. Let's encourage him. And the Lord does. The Godhead's talking about his children in heaven, about what they need, about what we need, what they need to do. That boy needs a whipping. The Spirit says, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, this vanity at hand, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Even if it would get this bad, as it is written, for thy sake, and that's very important, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Even if it would get that bad, our Lord won't quit us. Our Lord will do those things that he's promised that he'll do. Our Lord will carry us to the end of the life of this old man, this old flesh. And may he help us. May God be pleased to help us that in that moment, even into that moment of death, for his sake, we'd be looking to him. Daddy, help me. Help me. Stephen said, lay not this sin to the charge. Lord, I'm coming to you. Nay, in all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors. More than conqueror. A conqueror vanquishes, right? He vanquishes beyond any rising up. He gains a decisive victory. That's what a conqueror does. And the Lord says, the scripture says, our brother writes, our Lord tells us, and even in this, if we would be slaughtered, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, more than a conqueror, because it's all in our Lord, through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, even Satan. Satan is a fallen angel. Amen? Satan is a fallen angel. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, and that includes you. I've had people tell me that, say, well, all those things are listed there, but self is not listed there. You can take yourself out of the love of God. Well, we can drive some wedges between us and the Lord. And like Brother Saul, we read about him this morning, we can get in a terrible shape. But you know, the Lord got tired of it and brought that boy home, the ultimate chastisement. He said, tomorrow you're dead. You'll be here. And we're just going to end this with you on this earth. Because he wasn't going to allow his son to shame him anymore. He wasn't going to allow his son, King Saul, to shame him anymore. He brought him home. And why did he bring him home? Because he loved him. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And how do we have that love? Which is. Notice it doesn't say was. Because God's the God of the living, isn't he? When you're talking about the Lord, you're talking about now. Which is in Christ our Lord. Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Why has the Lord left us in this shape? Part of his plan. Old man, new man, wrestling, fighting, carrying on, struggling, disappointments, offenses, impossibilities, a witness, living for the Lord. This old flesh being subdued to where even this old flesh that's totally diabolically against our Lord can be used for his honor and glory and service for a little while. The Lord takes us out of here. Who could take? You know, we read about that. What is it in Colossians? Colossians or Galatians, about the Apostle Paul says he wants to apprehend that he was apprehended for. See, this old man, this old mind is diabolical against God, and the Lord has run us down and saved us. And this old man that can't understand, this old flesh, this old mind that can't understand a lick of what God says in his word and what God is all about has been apprehended and run down by the Lord and is made to be used for the Lord's honor, glory, and service. It was an impossibility with all others, but not with our Lord. And then one day, we'll have a body. Got that no-so hope of having a body like Christ's. That we'll be able to serve our Lord like Christ. We know that's so. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? Hard to really grab a hold of that. That there won't be any hindrance. But one day it'll be. There's no condemnation, is there? We're the sons of God. Right now. May the Lord help us. We might live for him.